There's no wicks. Woo! That's the wrong one, but we'll keep that for the moment. See, this is how you remember things. How you remember the good things. It's not the good things you remember. It's the crazy things. We're getting a lot of these happy birthdays. All right, hold on. Hey, buddy. Yeah, look at me. I'm trying to say, what's that guy doing? I see him every day, and he's always looking crazy every day. There you go. There's one. Praise God. Brother Cam's going to fall over. We're going to have fun today. Oop. Now, I was so happy with this thing, and now my candles are going crazy. Hold on just a minute. Y'all look at each other and say, hey, I think he knows what he's doing. Isn't this cool? Technical difficulty. I just lit the thing three times this morning. It worked fine. I should maybe only lit it twice. All right, let's try this now. Let's try it now. See, last time when they got married, there was a problem with the unity candle. And so we're going to continue the tradition. Anybody got any gasoline? We'll do it the redneck way. I'm telling you, we got a Marine in here, we got Army men, a Boy Scout. And a preacher. I was all three of them. No, I weren't the Marines. I was in the military. I was in the God Army. Yeah. Old Liam. He's a singing rascal, too. He sang yesterday to great-great-grandma, didn't you? Yeah, what was it? You are my sunshine. What was it y'all sang? Okay. Hey, buddy. All right, y'all come stand right here. Y'all look at each, y'all stand right here and look out at the congregation. Look like y'all know what y'all doing. So awesome. The family is a divine institution ordained and honored by God since the beginning of time. Children are a heritage of the Lord committed by Him to their parents for care, protection, training for His glory. This is a happy occasion which brings us together. Very happy occasion. As you realize from God's word that you're responsible to train up a child in the way he shall go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22 and 6. It is fitting that you should bring your child and present him to God at this tender age, knowing that you must start training him now in truth. May this service remind you of your obligation and help you to appreciate your responsibility to lead him in the right direction. Okay. Now, I want grandparents to come up here now. Where's all the grandparents? Y'all want to come up? Y'all know y'all were going to be standing up here too? And great-grandparents? Anybody, that's any kind of grandparent? If you got grandparent, great-grandparent, great-great-grandparent, come on, all of y'all. You can stay right there if you like, and I'll go right to you. I can go to you right there. Oh, here. And where's Sierra? Benny, are you a grandparent too? Come on. Oh, I asked for all granddaddies and Benny come up. All right. I know. Y'all need to get right back here though. That's right. Y'all got to face the congregation too. If they got to do it, y'all got to. Okay, ready? All right, ready? In the sight of God and in the presence of these witnesses, do you solemnly undertake to bring up this child in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? Do you promise to lead him early to accept Jesus as his personal Savior and Lord? Do you promise to the best of your ability to help with the help of God to set before him examples of godly, consistent lives? To each of the families present, you will have a part in setting examples before Liam. May you help teach him right from wrong also and help to win him to Jesus early in his life. Okay, you'll stand right there. To you, Liam, I knew that he would want to eat his flower, so I want you to hold it. And I'm going to give him a better flower. Can you hold that? Okay. To you, Liam, I want to give this white flower as a token of your innocence and purity of the soul in the sight of God. My prayer is that when you lose your innocence and your eyes of understanding are open, you will see Jesus, whom to see is eternal life. That's right. To you, Father, I give this red flower as a symbol of your responsibility as the man of the house, that you let nothing enter to the home that will tend to destroy the faith, confidence, and mutual love, without which no home can long endure. He likes that flower. Okay. To you, Mother, I'll give this white flower as a symbol of purity of heart and purpose, for which you should exemplify as your child grows and knows God as a personal experience. Your example will have a great deal to do with the awakening of Liam and his consciousness of God. And I want y'all to light the unity candle. Remember, leave them all lit. It took a long time to get them lit, so keep them lit. Now we come to the unity candle. Life is full of many symbolic actions that speak to us on a deeper level that we cannot always put into words. But such things you act instead of speak in regards to your promises. At the beginning of this marriage, two became one in the eyes of God. They stand before us today with the fruit of that relationship. Each of you take the candle. Together you'll light the larger one and then replace the lit candles in their individual holders. This is a vivid reminder that now your lives are merged and that Liam is the proof of it. This is symbolic that God, who placed responsibility upon of you individually, will also make your hands one hand. Amen? We'll make your hands one hand and make your hearts one heart. And your lives, one life, unified in God to raise Liam in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Grandparents, I give you red flowers, a symbol of your influence to this child. Teach him by influence and example. Right from wrong, your role will be important and lasting. And two in the pew, yes. That's right. Thank you. I'll sit right there. I'm so busy watching Liam trying to get that sucker. Yeah, y'all did. I'm enjoying watching him. I'm sorry. Okay. And to the God sister. Come here, God sister. Your role is a unique role. The parents talked to me and told me that you had a special responsibility. You are the God sister, not the God parent, the God sister. You are doing something I don't think anybody's ever done before, so figure it out. Just tell me what you're doing. I'm playing with you. No, she said she puts a lot of faith in you and a lot of trust in you, and she knows that if anything should happen, you would definitely take care of them. All right? There you go. And to the congregation, as a symbol of our united commitment to this family, please stand. Everybody stand. And respond to this question. Y'all say this with me. Liam, we commit ourselves to doing everything we can in formal roles of service and informal interactions with Liam and his parents to assist these parents in the fulfillment of the vows of dedication they have just made. Amen. Let us pray. Come here, buddy. You wiggly? That's all right. Pawpaw's used to wiggly. Oh, and if y'all didn't know, I'm Pastor Pawpaw. Let's pray. The baby's weight is light, but the responsibility is very heavy. This responsibility is yours to raise this child in the fear of the Lord. We dedicate Liam Jackson Gold. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be an awesome, powerful soldier and man of God. You got him? Okay. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Oh, here. Oh, forgot. Also got him a Bible. Got him a Bible. It says, The Liam Gold by Pastor Pawpaw, dedicated me to the Lord on 9/24/17. Then I had to bring my toolkit to light a candle. Bring a whole toolkit to light a candle. Wow. All right. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise. A four-year-old was at the pediatrician for a checkup. The doctor looked in her ears and asked, Do you think I can find Big Bird in there? Little girl stayed silent. Next, the doctor took a tongue depressor, looked down her throat, and said, Do you think I'll find a cookie monster down there? Again, the girl was silent. Then the doctor put a stethoscope to her chest, and he listened to her heartbeat and said, Do you think I'll hear Barney in there? Oh, no, replied the little girl. Jesus is in my heart. Barney's on my underwear. You know, did you know Chuck Norris? Chuck Norris wears Brandon Richards' underwear. His underwear, but on his underwear. That didn't sound right, so I'm going to just leave that alone. Superman wears Chuck Norris pajamas to bed, and Chuck Norris wears Brandon Richard pajamas to bed. How about that? It still don't sound right, so I'm just going to leave that alone again. Where's Brandon? I'm sorry, buddy. Sometimes you can't put the foot in the mouth far enough and can't pull it out. Amen. So, come on. There we go. I was going to talk about storms, but then when I realized it was baby dedication, I felt like we should be talking about baby dedication. So that's what we're going to talk about. And everybody knows the story about how, and we're going to read about it in just a minute, about in Genesis 22, how God called Abraham to take the promised son, the one that he had called to build an entire nation with, and told him to bring him up and sacrifice him. Matter of fact, it says stretch him out. Lay him on the altar and stretch him out and sacrifice him. I want you to remember that. He said lay him out on that altar and sacrifice him. Just think about that position for a minute, okay? Giving our children back to the Lord. I won't keep you long today because I know after a hard day of dedicating babies, you want to go to McDonald's and have a hard day of getting some fat-free, nutritious food. Oh, ain't that funny? All right, so here we go. I got some letters here from kids to God. These are real letters, actually. These are not play. These are real letters. Dear God, please send a new baby for mommy. The new baby you sent last week cries too much. Debbie, chapter 7. Debbie, age 7. Dear God, who'd you make smarter, boys or girl? My sister and I want to know. Jimmy, age 6. Dear God, how many angels are there in heaven? I would like to be the first kid in my class to know the answer. Norma, chapter 8. Here it goes again. Woo! All right. Here goes the next one. Dear Lord, thank you for the nice day today. You even fooled the TV weatherman, Hank, age 7. Dear God, look who did this too. Dear God, I need a raise in my allowance. Could you give one of your get one of your angels to tell my father thank you, David? All right. Dear God, this is my prayer. Could you please give me a brother with some brains? So far, he doesn't have any. Well, give my brother some brains. He don't have any. Angela, age 8. Amen. So let's just talk just for a few minutes about dedication service, and then we're gonna go ahead and y'all can just go out and the family can go out and celebrate. That'll be good. All right, dedication service. That's something that people don't quite understand what a dedication service is. Let me just tell you something. First, let me tell you what a dedication to this morning's ceremony was not. It was not just a service, and it was not just a ceremony. Although there was it's in the service, there's a ceremony in the service, and we had candles and candy and a Bible and flowers. All that was part of a ceremony, but dedicating our children to the Lord is not a ceremony. Amen? It's something a lot more serious. So what is it? First, it's a promise. We're promising God, hey, you give me a child, and so I'm going to give that child back to you. And as I give that child back to you, that makes our relationship between me and God more powerful. It makes my relationship with my child more powerful. And it makes the promise of my child more powerful now because I'm realizing that he just lent him to me and I'm giving him back to God. So it's a very powerful thing. So it is not a ceremony, but it's a commitment. Now how many here every day like to think that you commit your life to Christ? I give God me every day. God, here I am. You got me. You said you wanted me. I don't know why, but here I am. Amen. So remember, it's a daily commitment. There's some examples in the Bible. I just come up with some examples. First, Hannah. Hannah was a barren woman, and she kept praying for God to hear her. And God gave her Samuel. Samuel means name of God, but it also means God's name is El, but it also means God has heard. And so God heard her prayers and gave her a son. So she talks to Eli the priest and she says, for this child I prayed, the Lord hath given my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, shall he be lent to the Lord. I almost put lent up there today. Mom and Daddy lent me to God today. Amen. I lent my boys. I gave my boys. I gave Bethany. I gave them all to God. Amen. I give me to God every day. Joseph and Mary. With the infant child Jesus, 8 days after he was born, they were in the temple and they were dedicating him to the Lord. It is a very, very powerful, positive action when we dedicate our children to the Lord. But the one we're going to talk about today is Abraham. Abraham is probably the most powerful example of baby dedication I've ever seen because, number one, that was a big baby. Isaac was more or less 17 years old, so Isaac was a big boy. Okay, so this means that not only was God dedicating, or was Abraham dedicating him to God, but also Isaac, who had enough strength to take down a 100-year-old man, didn't, but was submissive to the Father's will. Wow, that's some powerful stuff there. Very powerful stuff. So now let's look at that for just a minute. All right, here it goes. Abraham, when he dedicated Isaac, he totally, irrevocably gave Isaac back to God. He totally, irrevocably gave Isaac back to God because in verse 2, it says, God told him, said, take your son, your only son, the one whom you love, and sacrifice him. You see, Isaac had been a miracle baby. Now, as he'd been a miracle baby, Sarah was 90 and Abraham was 100. I mean, just think about it. How would you like it if your 90-year-old mama come home and said, girl, you're going to be a sister? Can you imagine? 90 years old, he's 100, and after she goes through all this trouble to get him, then God says, okay, I gave him to you. Now guess what? I want him back. I want him back. Well, see, that's what was happening. And I played a little what if game. You ever play what if? Let's play a what if game here. Ready? What if Abraham had refused to give Isaac back to God? What if Isaac or if Abraham said, no, God, you just went through all this stuff to get this boy. Now you go through all this stuff for me to get this boy, and I'm having to take my other boy and run him off in the desert. All this stuff to Ishmael, all this stuff's going on. And now with all this, now you're asking me to sacrifice what you gave me, my promise. You asked me to give your promise that you gave me back to you. Some of y'all in here need to hear that today. Because you say the promise is driving you crazy. Give it back to God and then watch what will happen. Amen. It might not be your kid. It can be something else. But give it back to God and watch what happens. What if he had said no? He would have forfeited all of God's promises. He would have forfeited God's plans for Isaac. Isaac would have lived and died in obscurity. You would never have heard about Isaac. But what if, and he did, he obeyed and gave Isaac back to God. Watch this. He received the fullness of God's plan and promise, became a very powerful man, became the forefather of God's own son. Isaac's life is still having an impact on the world today. Wow. Because he gave his son back, God used him to bring forth us. Wow. We talk about Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons has Father Abraham. I am one of them and so are you. Let's just praise the Lord. Right hand, left. Yeah. You could also say Father Isaac had many sons. Many sons had Father Isaac. Wow. If it weren't for Isaac, we wouldn't be singing about Father Abraham. Amen. So here's a few lessons. It's got to do with baby dedication. Like I said, I'm not going to keep you alone today. Isaac actually represents, go ahead and fly off, there you go. Isaac actually represents Abraham's hopes, his dreams, his future, his promise from God. That's why, you know, people say it's harder to lose a child than for a child to lose a parent. You know why it's so hard to lose a child? Is because when you lose that child, you lose your hopes, your dreams, your future. When you lose a spouse, you think about, well, all my hope, my future hope is gone because that spouse is gone. But especially when a child goes ahead of a parent. So again, Isaac represents Abraham's hopes, dreams, future, and his promise from God. So when we dedicate our children to God, we don't just dedicate our children. We're dedicating our family and we're dedicating ourselves. I took it very seriously that day. I stood up in the congregation and dedicated D.C. I had just started serving God. I wasn't even sure what I was doing. But I knew what I was doing was very serious. And I took it very serious. And I had no idea that years down the road, I was going to be dedicating more and more and more children. I would be even dedicating my own grandchildren. Wow. So watch this. Here we go. This is what blows me away. And here's where a lot of us are at today, so please watch this and listen carefully, because it's not only with baby dedication, it's with life in general. Watch this. God knew that Abraham was a man of faith, and because he was a man of faith, he was a man of action. And because he was a man of action, he would put that action into plans. And so he knew that Abraham, he could trust him because he had faith. He would move on his faith, and he wouldn't just do a haphazard job. He would move with a plan. God wants all of us the same way, faith, action, and plan. But God knew that something stronger was going to come behind this. And so now God knows that Abraham didn't know that God was about to test him. And here's how God was going to test him. He was going to test his plans by putting his faith in an action he weren't expecting. Wait a minute. God, you want me to sacrifice my son on an altar to you after all this trouble to get this son that you promised unto me? You said he was mine. We have him, and now there's this big old problem going on. I have to kill him. Some of y'all in here today, your plans are being threatened. You've already got your plans set up. Your plans are being threatened, and you're trying to live by faith, but the actions are trying to make you live the other way. I'm here to tell you something. Just remember this. God has a plan. The Bible says in Genesis 22:5, Abraham said to his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and our lad go yonder and worship, and we'll come again to you. When he was going up the mountain to sacrifice his son, he said, we're going to go up to worship. And he says, my son's coming back with me. He knew before he ever was going to drive that dagger in his son's heart that God was going to take care of it. Hebrews 17, 19 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up as his only begotten son, of whom it was said that Isaac shall be the seed called, accounting that God will be able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him from a figure. Meaning, he knew even if he had to kill him, God would raise him up. Some of y'all in here right now, if you could understand, you're sitting here thinking, my dream's dying in front of me, and you don't understand, God's able to raise it up. Give the dream to him, and watch God raise that dream back up. So here we go. I'm getting close to the end. There's four elements. Four elements in giving your child back to God. Number one, giving your child back to God is giving your child to God is a confirmation of your love for God. Isaac was Abraham's most prized possession, but he didn't allow that to take the place of God. And this is what exactly Abraham proved by his willingness to offer Isaac. Let me just tell you a little something here. I'm going to do a little family counseling. In the early years, back in the early 1900s, and coming up, the family life was marriage-centered. And you saw fewer divorces, and you saw fewer problems because it was marriage-centered. And as time came by, and as the United States of America, and as the world began to prosper, and all this stuff began getting put into action, the family slowly, the house slowly moved from marriage-centered to children-centered. And when it became children-centered, now instead of what can we do to keep our family together and keep them in God, it's what can we do now to keep the children active and moving and moving and moving and moving. And what has happened is we've slowly moved from a marriage-centered family to a child-centered family. And when you have a child-centered family, the marriage goes haywire. Just thought I'd throw it in there for just that's a freebie you got today. Just take it with you and keep it with you. All right. Number one, giving your child back is a confirmation unto God. Amen. The Bible even said, Matthew 10:37-38, anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Amen. Element number two, giving your child to God is a clarification of ownership. That child ain't mine. It's not. I remember when DC, some things DC had gone through in his life, and some things with Daniel, with his sicknesses, and I saw all that. And every time I'd always say, God, they're yours. They're yours. They're absolutely yours. I can't do a thing about this. And I remember when Daniel was on his first birthday, was in Pitt Memorial Hospital. He had all kinds of tubes running in and out of him, and he had IVs hooked to him. And they told us if he lived through this episode, he wouldn't live to be 17 because the prognosis was cystic fibrosis. And there was a little cystic fibrosis boy, 12 years old, in a room next to him. And he went and drew up on the wall because you used to could do that, drew a birthday cake and put Daniel's first birthday. And I remember when Beverly told me that Daniel could die, and could die before the week was out. I remember going before God, and I was praying to God, and I said, God, I'll take his place. God, I will gladly take his place. And the Lord spoke to me just as powerfully and said, you can't take his place. You can't take your son's place. He said, but my son already took his place. Hold on to it. The very next day, God healed that boy. Totally, irrevocably healed. So, here we go. Giving your children to God is a clarification that they own him. Amen? When you give a child back to God, you are openly declaring he's a gift from God. He does not really belong to me. Now, you can look. If I ask you to look through this room and pick out the youngin' that belong to me. That's one of them. And Bethany, too. Wherever we go now, people tell me that Bethany and I look at, I don't tell them that Bethany's adopted. They say, Bethany looks like she looks like you. I say, that's fine. Cool. Amen. Amen. And then D.C. can be somewhere and they'll go, and they'll look at D.C. and they'll go, do you know David Linton? You got to be his son. So D.C., if you ever rob a store, make sure you got Junior on your back. Yeah, Daniel stole a piece of candy one time at Christmas time. Stole a piece of candy and in a store. And I told him, I said, put that candy back. And he went back and told the man he apologized. And so they go to Santa, and they're sitting on Santa's lap. And they ask DC, have you been a good boy? He said, yeah, but my brother just robbed a store. That baby doesn't really belong to you. It belongs to God. You got to remember that. It makes life a whole lot simpler. Matter of fact, it makes life easier because now when things are going haywire, I can say, God, he's yours. Amen. And believe me, if y'all had DC down, y'all ever heard that expression, PK, preacher's kids? If y'all said they were the worst kids, I found out they were some of the worst ones, but I find out why. They've been hanging out with the deacon's kids. Okay, I had to throw that in there. That was funny. And then little Billy's over at, huh? How you doing? How y'all guys? How's all the deacon's kids doing? Because the preacher's kids over here looking at me like I've lost my mind. Okay. We can have some fun. Can't we have some fun, y'all? That's right. If we can't have fun, let's close the door. All right. So now, the third element of giving your child to God is commitment to raise your child in God's way. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, we are to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Watch this. I just got through talking with him about this. Be a godly parent. Teach this child of Christ. Love this child. Pray for this child. Train this child. Stay married for this child's stability. Live a righteous life before him. You know, I remember DC was in school in Aurora. And he was only in like the first grade or second grade. And he went to Aurora Fossil Museum. And I heard that the teacher called me and said, your son made a racket in there today. I said, my son made a racket in the Aurora Fossil Museum. She said, yes, I couldn't calm him down. You remember this, DC? Okay, get ready. I said, well, what did my son do? She said, he was having a good time. He was watching that little film. And all of a sudden, they started showing the fossils and said they were looking for cavemen. And that people, or some were looking for cavemen but couldn't find them, or something about a monkey, guys that come from monkeys or something other. And DC said, DC stood up and said, I will not have that. And they stopped the film and he said, can we help you? He said, I did not come from a monkey. I was made in the image of God, I have you know. He shut the whole place down. He did. Yo, give him a hand. He deserves it now because I gave him a hand too, but not in that same place. All right. No, I didn't get him for that. I just said, son, I said, it's good that you stood up for it. Yeah. 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 It was like this little boy goes to his daddy and says, Daddy, I'm having problems with the school about this creation thing. Where we come from? And Daddy said, well, millions of years ago, this little Levi grew out of the sea and it became a fish, and then it became a lizard, and then the lizard became a monkey. And then after the monkey came man. He said, okay. A couple of days later, and it goes to his mama. And he goes, mama, I'm still kind of stuck. She says, why? I said, on creation. He said, Daddy, where we come from? He said, oh, it's easy. God spoke the worlds into existence. God created Adam and Eve, and then we came from Adam and Eve. And he said, that's not what Daddy said. Daddy said we came from monkeys swinging in a tree, and now we got this, and said, you said we come from God in his image. She goes, that's easy. I was talking about my side of the family. And he was telling you about his. Okay. Fourth thing, and we're closing. There we go. Giving your child to God is a claiming of God's plan and promises for that child's life. See, Isaac and Herod, when he was dedicated unto God, of course, the Bible said he inherited his blessings, his protection, and his promises. You know, I really, really am so amazed at this story, and I'm going to tell you a little bit. I'm going to finish up this story, but let me just show you something here. That's how the altar would look. And that's how the sacrifice would be laid. Do you see the way he's laying? What does it look like if you set him straight up? Wow. They laid him down like that. And the Bible clearly states, it says, it said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, because he laid him down and he was ready to go ahead and he was bringing the knife down. And the Hebrew says he was on the way down. And as he's on the way down, the Bible says that he told him to stop. And then there was a ram in the thicket. And he says, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and have not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Let me just tell you something. Thousands of years later, after this, and God says, don't do this, and he provided a ram caught in a thicket in the same spot. Jesus on a cross cried, it is finished. The same spot. Wow. God, because of Isaac and because of Jacob, because of Abraham, and Abraham would freely offer his son up. God says, no, I'll freely offer my son up because you did not withhold anything from me. Wow. When Daniel was sick, it was so powerful because I said, I'll take his place. I'll take my son's place. And he said, no, my son's already took his place. You just keep serving me and watch me. And that's the promise I've held on to with all my kids, all of them. They're his. They're not mine. And even when they've gone crazy, it's okay because they've come back and come back stronger and better than they've ever been. God is looking. Come on up here, DC. God is looking for somebody that will pour their self out to him, will dedicate not only their own life, but dedicate their kids. Wow. This morning, let me ask you a question. Have you dedicated you and your family to God? Have you laid them on the altar? Have you laid your marriage on the altar? Have you laid your own life on the altar? Have you laid your kids on the altar? Have you dedicated it to God? Oh, it's driving you crazy now. But I give you a promise, and it's not my promise, it's his. If you'll lay it on the altar and dedicate it to him, God will take care of it. Your life, your job, your kids, your marriage, lay it on the altar and thank God for it. And watch what will happen. Satan seeks to divide and conquer. But God is in unity. 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 Everybody stand. I'm going to do something a little different right now. If you got your family member around with you, I want you to hold hands with them, put your arm around them, however you're comfortable with that family member. I want you to lay your hands on them. And I want you to pray with me right now. Ready? Y'all repeat after me. Lord, I'm nothing without you. I need you by my side, holding my hand, guiding me, giving me strength. Today, I rededicate my life and I rededicate my family and my marriage and my kids to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for this day. In the name of Jesus, All I have is yours. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Now, before we close, if you want to come up here and pray, you're welcome to come up here and pray. We'll pray with you. And if you don't know what to pray for yourself, pray for somebody else. But if you need to pray, these altars are open. We never want to end the service without the altars being opened.